All of the microphones up there, they work all the time.
Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4. How many of y'all woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning? If you did, just stand up, because I did too. I'm not a fake pastor and I'm not a fake person. If you woke up on the wrong side of the bed and you want to be delivered from that, stand up. Now, if you're happy in your bad mood, you want to stay that way, just keep on sitting. I'm standing up enough for 10 people. Glory be to God, the house is full of people that are honest. Now, when you get in a bad mood, the other day I think it's just been in the air this week, because I told Tyler on Friday, I said, Tyler, I just woke up on the wrong side of the bed. He said, Pastor Kelly, I can't wait to see how you act, because I don't never act good when I do that. I'm going to read you a verse. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Can we all agree that we're not in the right spirit right now? Amen. Well, if you're sitting and you're in a good mood, then you are good. But if you're standing, you're probably not in the right spirit, because you're in a bad mood. You've probably griped at your husband or your wife or your kids. You probably griped them out and had a good family argument and whatever else people like to do. Great. Just keep sitting down. This prayer is just for the people in a bad mood. We're only praying for them today. I'm just kidding. This is a joke. Now, if you don't like to joke in church, this ain't going to be the right church for you. And renew a right spirit within me. Lord God, in Jesus' name, God, I ask that you take that mean old spirit, God, that's inside of us, out of us, and God, put the right spirit within us. Because, God, we can't receive your word if we're not in the right mind frame for it. God, the devil wants to take the word before it ever comes out. And I just thank you, God, that you've put us in a right spirit. You've put a presence of peace where there's been irritation. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I ask that you'd put us in a good attitude right now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, y'all may be seated. I'm going to minister this morning on hurts. We all have them. We all have hurts. And if we're not careful, we will stumble over hurts that we have. We'll keep those hurts and we'll resuscitate them over and over and over in our lives. And see, God doesn't want you walking around as a wounded person. God wants you to walk around as a healed, saved person. And so one of the things that God has ministered to me, and it's taken me a long time to understand this, and on bad days or moody days, I don't understand it quite as well. But on my good days, here's what I understand. It's your choice whether you walk around and you decide that you're going to be hurt about something or not. It's your choice. And you could say, well, you don't know what they did to me, Pastor Kelly, or you don't know the situation. You don't know, I don't have to know it. But I am a person, and I do know that we have the choice. We all have choices. And that's why the Word of God says, now you choose you this day, blessing or cursing, life or death. We choose every day. And when we choose hurt, and when we choose to nurture and nurse hurt, we're going to go around as hurt, wounded people. And I want us to go this morning to Luke chapter 24. And we're going to look at verse 39. And here is Jesus, and he has just been crucified, come out of the tomb, and he's with his disciples now, and he says this, look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. Amen. So here's Jesus, and he said, they were having trouble, Tyler, believing that that was Jesus because they had just seen him crucified, and he was trying to get them to understand that, yes, it's really me. And he said, well, take a look at my hands and look at my feet. Look at my scars is what he was saying. And, you know, we have to choose to be healed when we have hurt. That's a choice. Some people, they really don't want to get over their hurt or their hurt feeling. So they keep that and they nurture it. When you want to be healed from that, you have to choose that. And when it comes to, I know that there have been times where I've known people and they've had physical ailments, physical infirmity. And there's days where the devil will come to you and he'll say, no, this is going to kill you. Let me tell you something. In those moments, you need to get a vision, and the vision needs to be the hands of Jesus, his scars. Because the word says, by his stripes we are healed. Amen. Nothing else could make that purchase. Nothing. There was nothing that was good enough that could cover the tab for all of mankind and all of the sins and all of the infirmity and all the addiction and all of those things. But when we think about Jesus and we're asking God for things and we're wanting to be healed of things that have bothered us for years, you know, there's people that they have things that have bothered them for years that they could not lay down. But that's a choice. That's a choice. I'm one of those people. If something's going to bother me, it will probably bother me for a decade. And that's a choice. It's a choice. And it's hard to choose different, but we have that choice every single day. Every morning that we wake up, his mercies are new every day. We are wrapping up a Bible study that we've done, and it's called Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table. And one of the things that Louis Giglio says in one of his passages is he says, the devil wants to define you by your scars, and isn't that true? The devil wants to define you by the things that you've gone through in life that have scarred you up. The devil wants to define you by your addiction. The devil wants to define you by your family trouble. The devil wants to define you by your past, by your physical problems. And see, God doesn't define us that way, but God defines us and redefines us by his scars. And we need to keep in mind that we are being served by nail-scarred hands. So, God doesn't allow us to have scars to remind us that we've been hurt, but rather to remind us that we've been healed. I tell this story a lot. I've got a scar on my left hand, and I got that because my mother thought I was outgrowing my froggy toy. And I was outgrowing it, but in my mind, that thing was still, I was still little enough to play on it. She put it in the barn, and she said, Kelly, I'm going in the barn. Don't go in the barn. Well, telling me not to do something still to this day is like saying do it. So I did it. And I went in there and I rubbed my hand across a metal trough, a cattle trough, and didn't feel a thing. My mom got the froggy toy and she was washing it off with a water hose. And she looked up and my whole arm was just dripping blood. And she's an RN and she said, oh my gosh, what did you get into? I had no idea. She goes, did you go in the barn? I said, no. Absolutely not. You told me not to do that. No, I didn't go in there. She went and she looked. She goes, Kelly, what happened? Did you go in the barn? I said, yeah, I may have gone in the barn. Well, when I thought I was dying, I finally copped to it. Yes, Mama, I went in the barn. You know, sometimes we go in places in our lives that we shouldn't go to. And we come out with a big fat wound. Sometimes God's saying, no, don't do that. And we do it anyways. And boy, when we do, we come out wounded as heck. And God's saying, did you do that? And a lot of people can never get to the point where they say, God, I did it. Lazy Christians, they'll say, well, God knows I did it. Yeah, God wants you to hear yourself say you did it. Go with me to Psalms 147. We're going to look at verses 3 and 4. And it says here, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. He binds up their wounds. You know, if you've been alive at any point in time, you've suffered hurt, probably trauma, pain, grief, sorrow, depression, anxiety, so many things. Physical ailment, everything imaginable. And God says that he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. One of the most painful things for a person to go through is that binding process. The binding process, because there's pressure. The first thing my mom did was she got my hand and she drug me in the house. And I'll never forget it because that was one of the most painful things to this day. She got some crazy ointment and she started washing that wound out so hard that I felt like she was touching my bone in my hand and she was scrubbing it. And I kept telling her how much that it hurt. And you know, sometimes for you to be healed, there's going to be some pain that's got to go on. A lot of pastors don't like to stand up and tell you that, but that's the God honest truth. Many times for you to get the healing that you need, there's going to be some pain to go on. Why? Because, see, there's a binding thing that has to happen in your life, and that comes with pressure. So she washed out my hand. You know what? The Word of God says that he washes us whiter than snow. Sometimes that hurts to get there. And then she took my hand and she squeezed it to this day harder than I've ever been squeezed before. And I remember thinking, I believe my mom has gone psychotic. This is child abuse. It's got to be. We get to the doctor. And the doctor looks and he goes, well, Mildred, you did such a good job. This kid doesn't even need stitches. It's already began to heal. And you know what? Sometimes when we're telling God how much all that stuff in our life that we've been through hurts, God's saying the healing process already started. And I'll tell you where it started. It started on the cross. That's where it started. And for it to go any further in your life, there's got to be a yielding there and a choice made that you say, you know what? I'm just going to lay that down and I'm going to try to let that go. It's hard to let stuff go. Because there's something inside of us that wants to keep it many times. And I don't know why that is, but it's difficult to just say, I'm going to let it go and then to actually do it. And there's a wrestling that goes on. But I want to remind you that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But there's definitely a wrestling going on, and it's a spiritual battle. And so the Word says, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. See, if God numbers the stars and he names them, what do you think he's done with you? How much more significant do you think that you are? Well, he knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows how many of them are gray. He knows how many of them are, and Johnny's going, keeping that hat on. You've earned every one of them. You got those twins and a beautiful daughter. You've earned them. But God knows us and he loves us. And as God is my witness, he does not want us walking around hurt. It's like when we find out somebody's hurt our kids. Well, the first thing we want to do is just go and annihilate whoever done it. Let's keep it real. Gangster fast. All the soccer moms were all good and friendly till we find something out and then we turn into the mafia. Look here. I get it. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. We're going to look at verse 5. And it says, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. So every infirmity that we have, Christ has already took them up. It's a for sure thing. And he carried our sorrows. You know how many people, they walk around and they're weighted down because they're carrying a bunch of sorrow? I mean, probably every day this week I have said, I'm just exhausted. And when I look back at the week, it's not a physical exhaustion. I'm going to talk to those people for a moment here that they want to carry all this stuff. And I'm going to tell you that it's impossible for you to do that. And I can tell you that because I've done that most of my life, and it doesn't work. You can't carry everything and think that you can go on and have a great, lighthearted, happy life, because it just doesn't work that way. You weren't meant to carry a load that literally only Jesus could carry.
Amen.
And he carried the load and he took it. Because see, the word says that surely he took up our infirmities. Surely he carried our sorrow. And he took all those things and he walked to the cross and then he got on the cross.
Amen.
And put those all right there. And so when we carry these things with us and we kill ourselves to try to do it and then we still can't do it, so then we feel like a failure because we couldn't do it all. God's up there going, wait a second, now I already paid that tab. What are they doing? I already paid that. How many of y'all have had a high electric bill? Anybody? How many of you would just be itching to pay it twice? I didn't think I'd get any takers. Well, let me tell you something. You're so much more than whatever the heck you paid last month in your electric bill. And when you try to pay something twice, you're going to come up on the losing end of that every time. The debt's already been paid. The healing already started. Now you got to choose. Are you going to walk around hurt or are you going to walk around healed? Because you cannot do both of those at the same time. You're going to choose one or the other. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. You know, there's so many things in life that when we go through them and they endure them, you know, life is hard. Life is very hard. And what I've learned is that life is very raw. There's a lot of people, and we walk around with a lot of raw emotion because we've just been hurting so long that it's hard to step out of pain into healing. But surely he was crushed. Anybody ever just felt absolutely crushed by your circumstances, absolutely crushed by your reality, absolutely crushed by things that went on in your family, in your marriages, in your body? When we feel all of this stuff, we have to go back to the Word, and it says, but he was pierced for our transgressions, our sin. He was literally pierced in his body. He who knew no sin was pierced in his body for us. It's hard for anybody to do anything for anybody else. I look at people on Facebook, and people are always talking about how somebody did them wrong and how somebody didn't show up for them and how somebody, they're always there for them, but nobody's ever there for them. Just constant. It's a constant thing. And I always think, get off your soapbox and start asking Jesus how he feels about how we've ripped him off with our life and our time and our affection and our talent. But he was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. He had to have wounds to purchase our healing. Somebody had to be wounded, and nobody was good enough until Jesus Christ came along and did it. He was wounded for us, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. He took the punishment for that. Yet there are so many people walking the face of the earth, and the last thing that the furthest thing from their mind is having peace, because they don't have any. But yet peace was already purchased for them a long time ago. It's important that we conduct ourselves as a healed person instead of a hurt person. It's important that we conduct ourselves as a healed person instead of a hurt person. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you're always telling yourself how hurt you are by your mama or your daddy or your husband or your wife or your boss or your whatever, guess what you're going to do? You're going to mimic what you're saying to yourself, and you're going to walk around as a wounded, hurting person. And guess what hurt people do? They hurt others. How many of you ever heard the expression, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater? A weird service for me, because I'm having to preach it out of my own life, and it's very raw. But there are times where you will go through things and you just had a bad experience. And if you're not careful, it'll just ruin you from ever wanting to do that again. You say, oh, well, I had a best friend a long time ago, and it just didn't work out. I'm not going to let anybody get close to me ever again. That's wrong. You're going to rob yourself of something good and wholesome. Tell yourself so many people, well, I got hurt in church, and I'm never going back. Guess what? Somebody could run over your foot with a cart at Walmart, and you can get hurt in Walmart too. I promise you, you'll be back next week with your buggy. And if you ain't paying attention, you'll be hurting somebody with your buggy. Don't let a bad experience cause you a lifetime of pain. Somebody needs to hear that. Don't let a bad experience cause you a lifetime of pain. So many people, they get into, and I'm going to preach about it because it's my life. And I can't preach out of anybody else's life but mine. But what God has given me to share, I can certainly share it because a lot of people in my position would just try to keep it quiet. That's why God called me, because He knows that I'll talk about my own life when other people wouldn't. There's people, they get on second marriages, maybe third, maybe fourth. I'm not going to get into meddling. So many second marriages fail because you're in that second marriage and you get triggered. Yep. Oh, that's what my first husband used to do to me. And by golly, I'll be darned if anybody's going to ever do that again. And then we get on this tangent. For those of you on Facebook, it just all got quiet because it just all got real.
Amen.
Don't let a bad experience rob you for the rest of your life. Somebody did something to you, that doesn't mean everybody's going to do that to you. You know how many people say, I'm never going to do that again. I had a bad experience. I'm never going to give God another chance. I'm never going to do this, and I'm never going to do that. Be careful what you tell God that you'll never do. Because you'll blink, and you'll be in the middle of doing it. Because I'm going to tell you something. If God calls you to do something, and you don't answer that call, you'll never be happy. You'll never be happy not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 30. We're going to look at verse 17. And it says here, but I will restore you to health, and I will heal your wounds, declares the Lord. In another translation, I love this. And I was sitting outside yesterday under our pavilion, and I was meditating. Because most of the time I preach out of the overflow of my life. And I was talking to God. How many of you ever have a little rant session with the Lord? There's just certain things you can't tell a living human being, another one. They'll want to check you into a a place, a facility, and it won't be good. And you're stuck there for a few days at least. And I was just really having this very heated Italian discussion with God. And I was just telling him how hurt I was about some things. God spoke very plainly and very clearly to me. Well, Kelly, you chose to be hurt about that. So why don't you choose to be healed about that? Well, God, you don't know what they did. Are you this? Oh, no, he knows. He knows. Another translation for this, it says, "For I will close up thy scar and will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord." The devil constantly wants to define you by the hurts that you've accrued along the way. And if you're not careful, you'll leave those scars wide open. And then what happens? Well, somebody will come along and pour some salt on there. You got to let some things be healed up and let them go. And I said, well, God, how do I let them go? Number one, stop talking about it. Number two, stop thinking about it. Well, you say, well, I can't stop thinking about it. Yeah, you can. Because every time you think about it, if you'll say, I'm going to take that thought captive right now. Thought, I've got you captive and I've got you. And we're not going to think you anymore. And you keep casting that down and keep casting that down. See, the thought, what the thought wants to do is it wants to exalt itself and magnify itself among and above God. And before you know it, if we allow that, the hurt, the discouragement, that all looks bigger than God. See, nothing's bigger than God. We cannot allow past scars to affect our new beginning and our future. Another thing that we learned over the past 6 weeks, and I absolutely love it because I've never really seen it this way, but it's so true. In our Bible study, Louis said, we are never honoring God more than when we agree with what he has to say about us. How many of you want to honor God? You say, man, I want to honor God. I want to do what God would have me to do. Start agreeing with what he says about you. Agree with him when he says, you're the apple of my eye. Agree with him when he says in his word, now you choose this day. Agree with him when he says that you have to make a choice. Because you can choose to live hurt. Or you can choose to live healed. Sometimes for people, I don't care if you're talking about a physical ailment or an emotional one or a spiritual one, you say, healing is just far beyond my grasp. No, it's not. The word says write the vision down so you can run with it. When you feel like you could never get a healing from something, whether it's physical or emotional or whatever, first thing that you need to get an envisionment of is you need to picture what exactly did Jesus look like when they carried his body and they took his body off of the cross. What did he look like? And what did his hands look like? See, in Luke we read where he looked at his disciples and he showed them his hands and he said, look at my hands, it's me. And he used his scars as a way that they could recognize him. See, Jesus was recognized and is recognized by the scars in his hand, by the scars in his feet. Why did he do that? So we don't have to be all scarred up and recognized by how wounded we are. Amen. David said in the Psalms, oh my soul, why are you so downcast? You ever ask yourself, why are you so down? It's easy to get in a bad mind frame. It's very hard to get yourself out of it. Because we done talked ourselves up into a bad state of mind. And if the devil's messing with you, the best way to mess with him back is just start getting in the Word and reading the Word right back to him with whatever he's telling you. If he's telling you you're not going to make it, well, you better know the chapter and verse that tells him you are. If you're believing for healing and you haven't seen it manifested, what you need to understand is it's already been done. It's already been done. Go with me to Psalms chapter 30 and verse 2. And it says, O Lord my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. I called to you for help and you healed me. Healing's already been purchased. That happened a long time ago. So many times we're walking around and we're saying, but I don't feel healed. I don't feel whatever. I don't feel this way and I don't feel that way. And the good thing is that feelings aren't facts. Feelings aren't facts. And that's good news for us, because the fact of the matter is everything that we struggle with, it was put on the cross. I called somebody the other day and we played phone tag for a while. But by the time that we got to talking, I said, you know, I need to repent to you for some things. This person said, oh, it's fine, it's fine. And God said, Kelly, it's not fine. And don't get off the phone until you say the words, will you forgive me? A part of a healing is when you just say, forgive me. But many times we're too stubborn to say that because we're thinking about everything that we think they did or that we think was done to us. My first message in January, and it's amazing that we'll blink and we'll be through this year, but my first message in January was, do you want to be well? And I preached a series, and I started out in January, and I said, God, I want to be well. And God will take you on a journey for all the people that are willing to go. I got a long way to go, but I'm on that road. Don't carry a bunch of hurt around. Don't let one bad experience scar you. Don't scar you up for the rest of your life and make you not want to ever go there again, you could miss out on some of your biggest blessings by just being that way. I don't have some magical violin that I can play and get the music just right and dictate all your feelings. What I can say is this right here. If there's some hurts and you're having trouble with them and you want them out and you've wanted them out for a long time but they're just lingering and you got some work to do on those and you finally want some help, I'm going to ask you to stand up. I believe that Christ is going to meet you in that place. Lord, in Jesus' name, for everybody standing, God, I thank you that you're ministering healing right now in Jesus' name. God, for everybody, Lord, that needs a physical touch in their body, Lord, for healing, I thank you that the healing is taking place right now, that we walk out of here healed. God, for every person, and we've got some emotional scarring that's going on, God, I ask that you'd minister to us. Lord, I ask that you'd heal us up. God, we know that a part of that healing is binding up those wounds, and so, God, we know it, and, God, we receive it. Lord, I ask that you'd show each one of us, God, steps we need to take to get to where we need to be. And Lord, we thank you for it, and we call it done. In Jesus' name, amen.